In studio with us today, we have Loiso Madinga with us. Loiso has a show on at Daphne Kunz Theatre on the Square. Loiso, I have a copy of your CV from your website in my hand.
Ooh.
I was going to start reading it, and why am I reading it? You here? You here? Tell us about you.
Oh, sorry,
where, what, how?
You should have told me earlier. I would have memorized it.
No pressure.
I'll remind you. You're from the Eastern Cape, and you've been on Trevor Noah,
and you're
this huge success in 4 years. How did that happen?
Bribery, corruption.
That's
just South African rags to riches.
Trevor's hard to bribe. He's got everything he needs. It's always hard to get him on board. But it's been a good journey so far. I mean, it's only been 6 years since I started comedy. And things just keep working out. So I think I'm going to pay dearly soon for the blessings.
Yeah. I told the guys at work before I came here that I was going to be speaking to you, and they said, oh, he's tall. I didn't realize they were playing with me.
They probably thought Luis Ogola. We're literally the polar opposites of each other.
You guys have worked together, the two of you.
Yeah, yeah. That's why that was my first TV show. I worked with him on the late night news with Luis Ogola. Yeah. And we got ourselves some Emmy final. With Emmy finalists for the show, so that was a really great show.
And he was a funny guy. I remember, I think, previous work he'd done, was he on the Pure Monate show before?
Yeah.
With Karabo and Kagiso Lediga.
Yeah, yeah, wow, way back in the days. Yeah,
I'm old. This is the golden era of
something. I'm very surprised. I'm like, wow, you're...
Karabo is a personal friend, so.
Ah, nice. Good plug.
But a talented lady.
Yeah, but just like going back to the height thing just for like 1 second, didn't you actually have a comedy show called like Too Short to Be Black or Too Tall to Be Black, or wasn't there? Where did I read that?
Oh, I always ended a lot of my stuff with Tall on the Inside.
Tall on the Inside.
It was a joke I used to have.
No, then I'm completely misinformed. I completely didn't
Okay.
get that right.
Oh.
Something I've always wanted to ask a comedian, isn't it like huge pressure on you to be funny all the time? Isn't that like just hectic?
Yeah. It's weird because no one expects anybody else to be their job all the time.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if maybe you guys expect it to be the, you know, running the conversation all the time. Like, if somebody, there's a lot of conversation.
No, I don't get a chance at home. This is my outlet. I get.
That's why we come here. Like, we get a voice.
Yeah, people always expect us to be funny all the time. I think we're pretty introspective people. So, unless we're on stage because we finally had the time to think about the things we want to say. So, this is our thinking time normally during the day. And then we say the things we've been thinking of at night. So during the day, it's up to you guys to say the things that we can mock you about later.
Or steal from Twitter if we manage to tweet something funny.
Do you know, Twitter's made our jobs harder.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone's funny.
That's true.
So when something happens, people are on it. There's a thousand jokes already on Twitter. So by the time a comedian talks about something, it better be funnier than Twitter, which is hard to do. I've seen some really funny people on Twitter.
Yeah. So, Loiso, where is the line? Because this gentleman, Paul, showed me a YouTube clip of Coconut Kelts the other day. He thought it was really funny.
Coconut Kells. She's a huge DA supporter. She's a parody account of a black DA supporter.
And it
think about it, you guys. Think about it, you guys.
So uncomfortable. It crossed that line for me. It wasn't funny. It was maybe too painful, maybe too in your face,
maybe
the parody was, where's that line? Where do you like get people?
It's really hard to say there's a line. As a comic, I will always defend comedy, right? I think for me, even when I get offended by something, I try to first ask myself, why am I offended? Because it could be just from an incident from my personal past that's making me feel weird about something. Then I go, oh, that's not necessarily not funny. I just have a personal bias towards the concept, the idea of what this person is doing. It's very hard to argue funny or not funny with comedy, because it is at the end of the day very
such a
personal thing. It's a tough one to do, but I think the intention must be understood in terms of what is this person actually trying to do. Are they trying to hurt the person in the joke, or are they trying to bridge a gap between the people in the joke and their own ideas? It's pretty complex, but I think if you're confused about it, that's a good thing. It makes you think. But if it's blatantly like...
Yeah, but it
like,
didn't make me laugh. It certainly made me think, but it didn't make me laugh. And then it's not comedy. Then it's something else.
Then it's something else for you. Yeah.
Did it
make you laugh? See, now there it is. There's that gray area.
But
life is gray. I think our generation gets very angry. Well, I think life right now, people get very angry because we're not willing to live in the gray. Everything has to be something or not something. And life is mostly just a gray place.
But talk about the gray, Lois. And I've got an agenda here. I mean, I'm old.
Yes.
I'm older than you. I'm not that old. I'm very
no,
young.
No, I'm very black young don't crack. I'm not as young as...
I'm very young for my... But my point is, let me rephrase. Your career is quite young, even if you are ageless, right?
Yeah.
And we're seeing in a culture of post-Me Too, of people getting cancelled for some egregious things, people like Louis C.K. Mm. But now also some comedians walking back or reframing what they said maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and some even building new acts around making fun of their previous selves.
Yeah.
Did you find that you maybe dodged a bullet, that you didn't have that much controversial material because, you know, culturally the world was really moving in this direction?
What's
the thing you're most embarrassed about that you made a joke about 5 years ago?
I probably do have material that's embarrassing or now is wrong, but I think I'm growing as a person. I'm just doing it very publicly.
Ah.
So it's very hard to like hang somebody for something they said 10 years ago. Because so much growth can happen in that time. Things were, since they were socially funny at a time, and socially we're all growing. You know, I don't look back and go, if I hear a joke from the 70s and it's racist, I don't go, that guy better apologize. I go, yeah, the 70s were racist. That was okay back then.
Really?
I hope that person isn't saying it now. Yeah. You gotta give people the room to grow. It's like this whole, Liam Neeson thing.
Mm.
He's getting hung for something that he said a while ago, that he did a while ago, and then he grew within himself to realize that was wrong. And then he just admitted, like, oh, I used to think like this, and I don't. But everyone hangs him for... And it's like, shouldn't we applaud the guy for growing? Isn't that what we're all here for? We're all wrong about something at some point. You know, so you got to go, oh, well done, man. To go from such an angry, blind place and find your way to this
You're
point.
You're in a very difficult amazing. Space because political correctness is becoming like
the thing. It's tough to say things.
And like
right
your
now.
Job is just the absolute opposite. You're not funny if you're politically correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just wondering, like, racial comedy.
My personal view on if you're going to do a joke about a group of people who aren't you.
Yes.
No matter what. My thing is always, if they're not laughing, I don't do the joke.
Mm.
If I do a joke about people, like, for instance, if you watch my Netflix special, right? I do a joke about people in wheelchairs, right? I don't know if you've seen it. Yes. I make a joke about some people in wheelchairs. I wouldn't do that joke if I hadn't tested it with someone in the room who was in a wheelchair before. And then he was okay with it. I did it again. And at the actual taping, there was a lady at the back in a wheelchair who high-fived me as I walk out. So unless they're laughing, no matter how good the joke is for everybody else, I go, I don't do that joke anymore.
Is it maybe not just about having to work a little bit harder and think a little bit better and write better jokes that are slightly less ambiguous? Because I think a lot of people might, that's the corollary of what we're talking about, isn't it? You probably see a few kind of average or below average comics are making a splash because they're offending people, but that's just because the joke is quite crude. Crude not in the sense that it's vulgar, but crude in that it hasn't worked on enough.
Yeah. That's the tough thing right now with self. There's a lot of guys, you know, blocking cell phones at their gigs now. Because, and this is what comedy is. It's a space for ideas, right? And it's created for that. You go in knowing that jokes are being told over here, right? The room is lit and set up in a certain way to go, this is the one place we can do this, right? And
ironically, the same space to be non-PC.
Yes. So when you walk in, you're kind of agreeing to a certain extent that this is what happens here. It's now that we live in a digital world where things get out and we're no longer in that context and people can get upset, understandably, but you must understand that it happened in the one place that we've socially agreed that this is where we can try these things out. And a lot of the time it's people figuring a thing out. They have a thought and it's going to come out crude in the beginning. Jokes take a while for us to do. Chris Rock does a show 200 times before he tapes it, you know, to make sure the joke is finally okay for the world to see. So a lot of the time you hear the joke and it's I've done jokes where in the beginning I listen back because I record my sets and
cringe.
And I cringe and I'm like, that joke was so bad when I started it. But now it's the joke that everyone remembers me for. But if I had taped that first joke, people would be going, that guy's an awful comic.
Mm.
So it's really tough now because we're in a space that's more public than we'd like it to be, to do the thing in a way where, cause comedy can be very inclusive. It can bring people in that in a way that maybe just doing straight up conversations might not be able to. And now all of a sudden we're making jokes about, you know, people of different races, people who have certain illnesses, people who have, you know, different cultures. And all of a sudden we're having a conversation because things are light.
A common
laugh. Oscar Wilde, I think, said, if you're going to tell people the truth, make sure they're laughing or they'll kill you.
Mm.
We have Loyiso Madinga with us in studio, who is a comedian who has a show on at the Theatre on the Square. We're going to get to the details of your show a little bit later. Just interesting how this show has almost come full circle. We started with a clinical psychologist today talking about how we are all completely traumatized in South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, this for you is like manna from heaven. This is just, they're writing your comedy for you. You should be... You must be thanking Eskom. You must be thanking the ANC. You must be thanking, I don't know, just.
It's almost like America, where it's actually tougher now because it's so ridiculous that it's hard to make it funny.
No, I can't.
It's like Trump.
That.
He's so ridiculous. He's actually hard to make funny.
When reality is already a parody.
Yeah, exactly. It's that thing where it's like, I'm struggling to write Eskom jokes because I'm just like, is this funny? Cause this is ridiculous.
Did this
now
happen? Was it a dream or was it the news? Yes, I fell asleep in front of the TV and now I don't know what to do. Or
yeah,
to
like
believe.
Candles are a commodity all of a sudden. Like where are we?
Yeah.
It's actually weirdly a little tougher to write because before it was stuff you could analyze. Now it's stuff that you're trying to figure out, like what is actually happening.
And it becomes so much more important because the psychologist here was saying earlier that this is a coping mechanism, that we actually need the comedy now more than ever because things are bad.
Yeah. Things are bad. Things are worse than bad. A dollar buys a nickel's worth.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
That's what it is. So I think comedy is really good at relief. Comedy is good at understanding. There's so many different types of people I've come to understand just by listening to their comedy. Like now, I was part of the whole Netflix Comedians of the World, and I watch other stand-ups from different parts of the world, and you go, oh, we're similar in this way, or I've just learned something about their world, and my preconceptions have been shattered in some kind of way through their comedy. But at the end of the day, comedy is supposed to be funny. I think I live in a time where the hardest part of my job now is that people look to comedians for the truth, where they used to look at politicians and other type of people. Now people just accept that politicians are lying and then they go to comedians for the truth, which is too much responsibility for someone who wakes up at 11 every day, you know?
Loyiso, I really hope you have some time to hang about and talk to us. Loyiso, tell us about the show that you have on at the Theatre on the Square.
Yeah, so that clip was from my first show, Born Free-ish, and this one coming up, Problems.
Sorry, did you say ish?
Yeah, Born Free-ish. Born Free-ish. Okay. This one coming up is Problem Child, happening at the theater, at the Auto & General Theater at the Square. And I'm really looking forward to this because it's been a long time in the making.
Okay, give us a bit of a spoiler alert here. What Problem Child are you?
Oh no. Oh man. Let me think of a thing that I once, when I was a kid, was called into the house for lunch, and there was 8 boiled eggs on the plate, and I ate all of them. I was just so excited, these 8 boiled eggs. And then my two brothers walked in. Apparently those were to be shared, but when I saw the eggs, I was like, this is obviously just for me, because I'm the awesome child. And they were very upset that all 8 eggs were gone, and my older brother was like, that was for all of us. I was like, wait, calm down, communist.
There you go, you know, survival, highly developed survival instincts, you know.
So I'm really looking forward for this show, because this show is more just my thoughts on my idea of people is everybody's wrong, and I like to tell them how. And that's why I call it Problem Child, because it's I like finding the funny in less popular ideas, or just telling stories about my childhood. But it's a mix of those two things. And
so this is your chance to give yourself a punt. When, where, how?
Oh,
all that
stuff. Please come. Tickets are CompuTicket from the 26th until the 30th. That's next week, Tuesday until Saturday, at the Theatre of the Square. That's Nelson Mandela Square, in Sandton. come one, come all, bring a friend. I would love to fill that room up with laughter because I've been prepping the show for a while. Tickets are CompuTicket. Come through. The show is ready and blazing.
What time?
8:15. Oh, I shouldn't have said the real time. I should have said 7:30.
Half past seven.
South Africans.
You know your audience.
It's 7:30. I was joking with it.
Because all the people who are always late now have load shedding as a much better excuse. Sorry, I didn't work today. It was load shedding.
That's a new one.
I forgot about your birthday. It was load shedding.
It was load shedding. I didn't see your birthday on Facebook. I'm sorry. That's the only way we can remember anything these days.
Exactly.
But come through by 8:00 so we can all be seated and settled and start the show early and get my opening accent. I've got really great opening acts, Gilly Apter to Jason Goliath. So the shows will start really good and hopefully, and will carry on in that vein. 8:15. Please get your tickets beforehand. South Africans love to buy last minute. It's a nice intimate venue, so don't be the guy wishing they had bought at the venue. No one does it anymore.
Don't try and climb over everybody else 15 minutes late when the vibe is on.
Be in the comfort of your home, buy your tickets online, get there early, and let's be comfortable. Because the last thing you want to be doing is fighting for parking at in Sandton. That place is, can get a little bit crazy.
Luis, I want to break all your arms, all your legs, whatever it is that you wish people on stage.
I thought that was a threat for a second.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Give us half of your tickets.
We were doing so well. Looking each other's eyes, being friends.
Back to those wheelchair jokes. We could always put you
Simon,
in and wheel
Simon's
on.
Been told to find additional streams of revenue for the radio station. Extortion seems to be his latest idea.
You do a job that I got to tell you, not for all the money in the world would I get up in front of a bunch of people and tell them jokes. Just no way. It's not going to happen. There could be one thing worse, and that could be audience participation in a play. That would be terrifying.
I don't mind hecklers as long as it's not from a bad place. Some people just want to disrupt the show. Some people just can't help but say something. They just can't help but go, you know, that's crazy. I love you.
Luiso, thank you for coming through. Wish you best of luck with the run. I'll definitely be there.
Please.
There is absolutely no doubt. And, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.